say something because people will be able to figure it out anyway. But, and I'm not apologizing, but I just wonder how many people need to hear what I have to say today. I'm going to talk about unity in Christianity. All the divisions in Christianity over the centuries about matters of opinion may be the worst sins we Christians have committed. In one of his last prayers, Jesus made these requests. Holy Father, protect them, and he was talking about his disciples, by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. John 17:11. In that same prayer, he also said, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. John 17:20-21. And in that same prayer, he also says, may they be, they, us, be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. John 17:23. And shortly after this prayer, Jesus was arrested and his terrible ordeal began. So we can see how strongly Jesus felt about his followers being one. His last request was that we would be brought to complete unity. And we're a long way from there, I'm afraid. We have divided over numerous issues, and the number of denominations in the world would proves that. Many were just matters of opinion, but there were some that were on important issues, on issues that where opinions doesn't matter. You have to be right about what you believe on that issue. In Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 1, Paul tells us, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Now, disputable matters are matters of opinion that people can differ on and disagree on, but there shouldn't be division on. You don't have to agree with me on some issues, but we're still brothers and sisters, and we need to act like it. This doesn't mean these things are necessarily minor, because weak faith is not a minor issue. It is critically important, faith is. The writer of Hebrews tells us, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11:6. But in that 14th chapter of Romans, where you have the brother with weak faith and the brother with strong faith, we're told that both were accepted by God and both are made to stand by God. They are upheld, even though one's faith is weak and the other's is strong, and that's quite an important difference in a sense. But God handles both of them the same way. We're told to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Jesus takes our imperfect faith and makes it perfect. Now notice the writer of Hebrews did not say that we must correctly understand and agree on every matter that comes up. As far as I know, in nowhere in Scripture is that taught, that we all have to agree on everything. That's really an impossibility, probably, or close to an impossibility. We can have different opinions on many matters and still be brothers and sisters without division. And there are some things where there has to be a division, where it's on a matter that you can't compromise on a matter of where you can't have just an opinion. I call those, I assume the name would be undisputable matters. And what are the matters that all Christians must agree on? And I suspect we would disagree on that. But I'm going to raise an idea, and I'm not telling you that this is correct. You just consider it and think about it. The word unity is found 4 or 5 times in the Scripture, depending on what version of Scripture you're reading from. It's found in Psalms 133:1, John 17:23, Romans 15:5, Ephesians 4:3, and Ephesians 4:13. In Romans 15:5, Paul prayed that God would give us a spirit of unity. And I'm sure he has given us his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit pursues unity or encourages unity. And in Ephesians 4:3, Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Because the goal is so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. Notice Paul didn't say until we've reached unity in our understanding of every issue. Paul said unity in faith, unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, and unity in maturity and in Christlikeness. Paul told the Ephesians, make every effort to keep the unity. Church that is Christ's body started off united and is still united. Every person that becomes a child of God is added to that church. The Holy Spirit unites us, and one of our major responsibilities is to keep that unity. I don't know who is a child of God and who isn't. I can't tell by their appearance I can't tell from the name over the door of the church that they attend, unless it reads Church of the Devil, then I think you've got a pretty good clue of what the situation is. And there are some churches around who have a name similar to that, if not that name. Only God the Father knows who His children are. It is not my responsibility to make that decision. I am not qualified to make that decision. God the Father doesn't expect me to even think about making that decision because I can't. If someone tells me they're a Christian, it is my responsibility to accept that, accept them, and treat them as brothers and sisters. Every person that becomes a child of God is added to that same church, and there are no divisions in the body of Christ. There's only divisions that we have created on earth. Romans 12:5, we are all one in Christ. These divisions that we have seen, and unless you're an elderly person, you may not have seen divisions, but some of us that are older have seen divisions, have heard about divisions, and were aware of them for many years. And I'll have to confess, at some point I thought they were appropriate, but I no longer think they're appropriate in the great majority of cases. These divisions were over numerous issues, and they're caused by false teaching. Now, that's if something is false is being taught about Christ, then that may be grounds for a division. But most divisions are caused by worldliness, weak faith, legalism, pride, and pride has a big part in divisions, lack of love, judging other people, and the list goes on and on. We seem to have made more efforts on earth to divide the church, at least some in Christianity have made more effort to divide the church than to keep the unity. I have a question, and I think this question is critically important to this subject. Did Jesus Christ accomplish His mission on earth? Or do we have to supplement what He accomplished to complete the mission? We're told in Scripture that Jesus' mission on earth was to save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21, Luke 2:11, John 3:17, John 4:42, and no doubt several other places. Was Jesus successful, or do we have to supplement what He did in order to be for salvation? Listen to how he answers these questions. Before He went to the cross, He said, "But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed." Luke 12:50. He was determined to complete the mission He came to earth to do. And He told His Father, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." John 17:4. On the cross, his last words were, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, John 19:30. He hadn't been resurrected yet, and that was a critical part of his mission. But we're told in John, the second chapter, verses 19 through 22, that he was in control of his resurrection. He told, I think it was the Pharisees, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And he was talking about his body, not the temple in Jerusalem. "I will raise it up." Jesus Christ went as far as he had to go to save us. He could go no further. There was no place to go beyond what he did for our salvation. Obviously, he was successful in completing his mission. Our responsibility is to put our faith and trust in him. Instead of us supplementing his efforts, he supplements our efforts. Ephesians 1:23. He is the beginner of our faith, as I said earlier, or as the Hebrew writer said earlier. He is the beginner of our faith. He is the completer or perfecter of our faith. And we must fix our eyes on him and keep them on him. Beyond even his mission on earth that saved us, he still is working on our behalf. He intercedes on our behalf, Hebrews 7:25. He forgives our sins, Ephesians 1:7-8. He gives grace to each of us in proportion to how much we need. He apportions grace. It's not all the same amount for each of us. Some of us that need more, he provides more. On our own, we can supplement nothing that he has done. In his lesson on the vine and the branches, he tells us, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15:5. All we can do is cling to the vine, and that will save us. If you agree that Jesus Christ accomplished his mission on this earth, and that we are saved if we remain faithful to him, then we need not worry about debatable matters. We need not worry about differences of opinion. But what about undisputable matters? What matters must we be right about? What matters are undisputable, not opinions? What must we agree on? The word unity means oneness. Right after Paul told the Ephesians to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, he gave this list. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Ephesians 4:4-6. Is I, I, I tend to believe that this is the list of the ones I call them, that we have to be right about. That if we're right about these issues or these matters, then we can be wrong about all sorts of things, and it'll have nothing to do with our salvation, and it'll be nothing that we should be fighting and arguing about or dividing over. I know these one list of one things is not a matter of opinion. I think I know that. We know that. I know we can't compromise on them. Now, I'm not saying we understand everything fully, but we can't discount them. That one body that we must be part of is the body of Christ, which is the church. He fills everything in every way. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. So we're all united in one church. Now we'll here on earth we may have divided, but if we're a child of God, we're all united in one church, the body of Christ. And that would be an appropriate name for that church. But I'm not telling you the name over the door determines whether you're a child of God or not. Being in Christ is essential. It's not a matter of opinion. The one Spirit is the Holy Spirit that indwells us. When Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, he told his disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." John 14, 18. The Holy Spirit is given as a gift after our baptism, as we know. Acts 2:38. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink. Ephesians 2:18. No, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Excuse me. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Ephesians 2:18. Christ being in us is essential. Our one hope is Christ Jesus and what he accomplished for us. That is the only hope. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." And that's not narrow-minded when God says it. There is only one Lord, and he is Jesus Christ. Acts 2:36. The one faith that is eternal, the one we have faith in all kinds of things on this earth. If we fly, which I don't, if we fly, we have faith in the pilot of that plane. We have faith, we live by faith every day. I have faith that that driver coming toward me at 70 miles an hour is not going to swerve at the wrong time. But the faith that gives eternal gifts is faith in God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. The one baptism is baptism into Jesus Christ. And that gives us forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and unity with all the other children of God. The one God is God the Father, who created the heavens and the earth, He is the Father of Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Father of us all. We are brothers and sisters. We are blood kin. We have the DNA of God. If we are in Him and He is in us, we are in unity. Maybe whether we realize it or not. It's up to us to keep the unity and act like loving brothers and sisters to other Christians. Again, I ask the question, could these seven ones be the only undisputable matters that we all have to agree on? I tend to think so, but I wouldn't promise you that I know what I'm talking about. They all point to Jesus Christ and are found in Jesus Christ. If we're right about Jesus, we can be mistaken on many other issues. Therefore, we have no basis for dividing over other issues that are not undisputable matters. I think attitudes is what has divided Christianity over the centuries. So to keep the unity of the Spirit, we need to cultivate the right attitudes. Paul told the church in Rome, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters, Romans 14:1. Obviously, an attitude of acceptance rather than rejection is what it takes to be united. And an attitude of being non-judgmental is essential to unity as well, because many of the divisions that I am aware of were caused by men's pride and wanting to be right, or right in their own eyes at least, and not having the proper love for the other person. It became a contest to see who could win, and both lost. Paul, who wrote Romans 14:1 to accept the brother weak in faith, repeated his command. I assume that's a command. It should be a command. In Romans 15:7, Paul repeats the command, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Christ accepted us when we were his enemies, lost, and without hope in the world. Romans 5:10 and Colossians 1:21 and 22. Where would we be if Jesus had passed judgment on us before he accepted us or before he would accept us? We would be lost and without hope in the world. How sad that we have rejected brothers and sisters that Christ had accepted, and we divided from them over matters of opinion. Paul also tells us in Ephesians 4, 2 and 3, how to get along and keep the unity we have in Christ Jesus. He said, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I believe I can safely say that humility, gentleness, patience with each other, and bearing with one another in love has never caused a division in Christianity. Those attitudes don't create problems. They solve problems. And that's especially so when we were making every effort to keep the unity. Divisions over undisputable matters may be necessary, 1 Corinthians 11, 18 and 19. Divisions over disputable matters or matters of opinion are not necessary. They're a sin. In conclusion, you and I cannot undo the divisions that have occurred in the body of Christ. But if our attitude is wrong about other Christians, we can work on our attitude. Because differences of opinion on disputable matters or matters of opinion are not a problem unless we make them a problem. That is my lesson for today. If you have some need the church can assist you with, if you need the prayers of the church, I will be at the back while we sing a song or two, and I'll be glad to talk with you. Thank you.